The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, 61 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, serving the Tampa community. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping today. Home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer, is Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. And your first phone call, if you have storm damage at your home or a flood or you find mold, that goes to Florida's Elite Restoration, Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
If they do another remake of Conan the Barbarian, you know, he's my number one guy. It's not accidental. I'm trying to grab an English muffin, and I'm very particular about my pickle. I'm very particular about my women.
And Big Storm Beer, Ira, that's the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Fantastic food. They're open later in Clearwater on Fridays and Saturdays with great drink specials, letting people just enjoy the outdoor area and DJ and have a good time there. Maybe even pre-party before they head out to Ybor or something like that. BigStormBrewery.com. BigStormBrewery.com. Look for the Bromosa. It's on all the great retail shelves, the Tangerine IPA, as well as the fantastic Wavemaker Amber Ale. So many great beers. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer.
That's not fair to the team, to the organization.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. We're marching toward training camp. It's after the 4th of July. Ira's ingested all the possible hot dogs. He's ready for the competition next year on Coney Island. So he says, I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper is here. Ira, lots going on in the world of the Bucks. Can't wait to hit you with some questions. But how was your 4th of July? And how are you feeling?
I was a little apprehensive about the 4th of July. I was like taking it from Cosmo's perspective. You don't like loud noises. Even if you keep feeding them, you don't like those loud noises. But it was relatively quiet. I've talked to some other people, and they said it was maniacal until midnight. But, you know, people in my neighborhood, Lee, they respected the peace. So I always get a little bit nervous. I barbecued, put on the fire. And look, Mr. DeCamper, we're 3 weeks away from training camp. You can't help but get excited about the 2022 Bucks. And as I mentioned to you the other day, Lee, with all the Gronkowski news and, you know, Ndamukong Suh's not here. And then despite all of that, and they losing two guards from starting guards from last year, this team's favored, Lee, to represent the NFC in Glendale, Arizona next February. We should celebrate that. I think it's a reflection of this roster. And what it is mostly, it's a reflection of having number 12 around. And
I see where you're going, Ira.
Sage, let me hit you with this, Ira, because it's timely and it needs your wisdom. We need things on this podcast that need your deep, deep thoughts and your experience in the media of 65 years. So, Sage, Adam Schefter's on NFL Live this week after July 4th, and he's adamant that the Bucks are going to make, quote, another move or two this summer or pretty quickly into the season. And I've stressed this before. I wrote it at Joe Bucks Fan. Schefter went to the same high school as Jason Light's right-hand man, Mike Greenberg. Mike Greenberg was on a guest on the Adam Schefter podcast. He may be the only non-GM, as far as on the executive side of a team, to ever make it on the Adam Schefter podcast. And it's a pipeline of information. And he's putting out there that as aggressive as the Bucks have been to this point with Brady, and as demanding, that's Schefter's word, as demanding as Brady is, and throw in the loss of targets, production, and trust. That's the quote from Schefter. He expects to see a couple of moves here because Brady's going to demand to have the targets that he needs and he wants. And Ira, do you see that coming sooner rather than later? And do you believe that Schefter is basically echoing exactly what they're telling him at One Buck?
I don't have any doubts, Steve, about this Schefter-Greenberg relationship. And I think it's very telling that Greenberg went on that show. Lee, it's not like Mike Greenberg is America's guest. You don't see this guy. And, you know, he played plays things close to the vest. I mean, I see him all the time, you know, at the stadium, training camp. He's cordial. Yeah, you know, he's friendly, but he ain't going to give up anything. Just the fact that he went on Schefter's show, I think, is tellingly. So that gives additional credibility to Schefter. A lot of it, not all, but a lot of the speculation about will the Bucks make a couple of moves before training camp, during training camp, revolves around number 87. I mean, let's be honest. We have to assume they know inside information, Gronkowski's intentions. How can they not? Brady talks to him every day, Lee. You know, Brady's reporting to Jason Light, and he's reporting to Todd Bowles. What's the latest on Gronkowski? And look, Steve asked me 3-4 weeks ago, are the Bucks going to make any moves? I said, probably not. But Lee, that's before Gronkowski announced a public retirement. Whether that holds or not, we don't know. But we didn't have that information at the time. It changes everything. If the Bucks even think there's a 70% chance Gronkowski's going to stick to his retirement plans, they got to make a move at tight end, Lee. They can't rely on K-Dot. I mean, they're not going to do that. Brady's not going to do that. Cameron Brait is a good number two. He's not in a position to be number one if he ever was. Not now. So I think the other position, Lee, we've talked about it, edge rusher. Can't have too many rushers. I mentioned Carlos Dunlap last week as a guy who makes some sense. He's a proven veteran, Lee. He's durable. He doesn't miss games. He doesn't have to start. But I'm not convinced Tryon Shiranka is the answer, Lee. I'm not convinced. I think they need a backup plan. So those are the two areas.
Yeah, I mean, Steve and I have written it before that, you know, the clearly the inaction at tight end, that suggests that there's a plan B, or they're pretty confident Grum's coming back in some respect, whether that's November, whether it's October, whatever. I mean, it just screams that because you got Brady for one more year. If your goal really is to get another Super Bowl, you're not going in there with Cam Brate and two guys that never caught a pass in the NFL. That's just not going to happen. Once upon a time, Cam Brate probably was a Pro Bowl level player. I don't know if he is anymore. He's still a good player. I know there are some Bucks fans. I get phone calls. One guy, he doesn't want Cam Brate on the roster. You know, he's gone. He's over with. Blah blah blah. I'm not going there. I still think Cam Brate's valuable, but I agree with you, Ira. I don't know at this point of his career if he's the every down number one tight end. And I got to say this, Ira, I think I'm out at one buck more than you, but you know all these underlings. You know these assistants of the assistant to the assistant, all these people on that work on the website. I don't know any of them. See, you kind of remind me of these guys who focus on players who you pray never see the light of day on a football field. And instead of focusing on all the Hall of Famers on the roster. And it kind of cracks me up, Ira.
Lee, it's not accidental. I learned a long time ago in this business, and it's paid off, that you get to know everybody. When I covered the Lightning for a year or two, I knew everybody in the organization. I knew the guy that rode the Zamboni. It wasn't my cousin Seymour. But
Seymour.
Lee, it's under the premise that you never know when you can pick up a piece of valuable information. You just don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm always worried about what's going on the practice field and what's going on the field of play. And that's just me. I just always cracks me up. You know all these people. I don't know any of them.
Ira, I thought you were going to say that it helps just in case you never know when someone's going to let you into the cafeteria. That's what I thought you were going to say.
I can't get in there, Steve. I just can't get in there.
I tried, huh?
You know, practice, the players go through there. They hold the door open. I try to sneak through. I get the arm across from Andre, the security guy. Where you going? Where you going?
Arm,
I'm trying to grab an English muffin. Andre, no, absolutely not.
I'm going to release a story here. Previous Bucks media relations director, Jonathan Grella, he told me a story, and I sure can't remember the specifics, but he claimed you were trying to gain access, illegal, if you want to call it that.
Unauthorized. That's
unauthorized. Right. There you go. Unauthorized access to the locker room, claiming you were going to get a piece of gum.
I don't doubt that story, Lee. I don't. It fits my profile.
But that's good work.
Steve, on the Gronkowski angle, suppose this is a short-lived retirement, and the Bucks know that. Steve, when does he come back? I mean, is he back for week one? Is he going to come in mid-season? I mean, I'm not comfortable with this mid-season thing, Steve. I'm not. Look at the schedule in September. They need Gronk. Otherwise, they got to make a move.
The various salary cap websites out there, the legitimate ones that keep track of all the salaries and the cap and all that stuff, they right now have the Bucks with over $12 million available under the cap. $12 million. So there's no way that they're not going to use that money. It would be just a travesty if they're sitting there with Tom Brady and an win-now, all-in mentality, yet they've got, you know, $10-plus million in, that they're sitting on to not spend on this season. So that money has to be spent philosophically and realistically. And right now, sure, they've got money aside for Gronk, and you always need a little bit of money to sign an emergency free agent for $2-3 million if somebody gets hurt. But they got to spend that money. That, I think, is a pressure point here. What are the Glazers going to say? Why are we sitting on this money? We can win a championship and sign Ira says sign Carlos Dunlap. We can use $7 million for that. So I think there's some pressure there.
No question, Steve. But again, revolves around number 87 because he's not coming in for $4 million. He's not. He can make more than that, you know, doing commercials, which he's in great demand. If they do another remake of Conan the Barbarian, you know, he's my number one guy. I'm going with Gronk. People love the guy. They gravitate towards the guy. So he's got options, Lee. He's got options. I don't think this is a great giant holdout for more money. I don't get that impression.
No.
But I don't think the guy wants to go through training camp. I don't. But, Lee, I want the guy week one. I don't want the guy week eight because, you know, there's always a chance, Lee. By week eight, this team could be 3-4. I mean, they could be.
I'd want them there working out tomorrow. But this is the way I'd look at it. If Gronk texts Jason Light October 1st, hey, man, you want me? Of course he's going to say yes. You ask anybody in the locker room October 1st, you guys want Gronk? Of course they're going to say yes. Gronk some of the time is a whole lot better than Gronk none of the time. So that's the way I look at it.
Ira, Bill Curry Ford, Sage, Bill Curry Ford, they've got a fantastic new service now. If you want to order a vehicle, a brand new vehicle, which you should, because it's so easy. And Sean Sullivan, the general manager, is giving you $500 just to do it. All the information is at BillCurryFord.com. You get your own personal concierge custom order representative. Of course, the nationwide lifetime warranty on the vehicle. No deposit required. He's giving you the $500, and there are additional discounts, the Ira Kaufman podcast discounts. You get a priority over retail stock. It's just fantastic, and it's so easy to do online. BillCurryFord.com. No deposit. You can order your 2023 today and get $500 just to do it. Sean Sullivan's just having a great time with that, helping customers all across the Bay Area. And Bill Curry Ford, of course, has the nationwide lifetime warranty for used vehicles as well. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, some fans are in denial. Ira, some fans are in denial on this fact. I'm switching the gears on you here, Sage. And I think it's kind of funny because I put it out on the website. It's fact, absolute fact, but they're in complete denial. Warren Sharp, who Lee has quoted many times, one of the big handicapper, but data-driven handicappers in Vegas, he ran the numbers, very simple. He took all of the projected win totals on the board now in Vegas and added up every team and their opponent's projected win total to figure out who had the toughest schedule and who had the easiest schedule. Seems like a very simple mathematical equation, Ira. I look at all my opponents, what's their projected win total for the season combined, and then I can come up with a list. The Buccaneers, Ira, they have the 7th easiest schedule in the National Football League, 5th easiest in the NFC. Saints are at 9th easiest, and the teams with the 2 toughest schedules would be the Chiefs have the toughest schedule, followed by the Rams. And literally fans in the comments, I usually don't pay attention to the comments at all, but you had multiple people say, I don't believe it. This isn't accurate. Can't be true. It's not possible. I sit up all night worried about the Bucks' schedule. What is your take on that? And do you think that's a fair way to judge the schedule? And if so, does this give the Bucks more flexibility and a little more cushion as they approach what to do in free agency and the whole Gronk situation?
Well, my first reaction, Steve, is it's an obvious reflection on the weakness of the NFC South. I mean, that's number one. Atlanta and Carolina, Lee, let's be honest, they're going to be vying for, you know, picks number 1 through 5 in the 2023 draft. That's Ooh. Just the way it is.
You're not buying Baker Mayfield, huh?
The Falcons stink, Lee. They stink.
Oh, the Falcons are god-awful, yeah.
I mean, they're really bad. You know, Kyle Pitts is going to be a marked man. They got nothing else besides him.
They're tanking.
And they are tanking. I remember talking to the new head coach, the head coach in Palm Beach in March, and my takeaway was he's planning for 2023. I mean,
you told me that. Yeah, you told me that before, and I agree with you. Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, you know, he's not going to move the numbers too much on the Panthers. He might be better than Sam Darnold. So the New Orleans might be a 9 or 10 win team. They might. But this is not the AFC West. But, Steve, you know, I still look at the schedule. I look at the first month. They also have to play the Rams. I mean, Cincinnati, Steve, you know, 7 teams are elite that play. I mean, they're kind of elite teams. Now, you balance that with 4 games against, you know, the garbage of the division. They play Cleveland, which to me is a very average team now, especially we don't know what's going on with Watson. He's probably not going to be available when the Bucks are playing him. So, Lee, it depends how you want to look at it. Like Steve says, by the numbers, you can't argue with Warren Sharp. But Lee, the good teams that they play, they're very good teams. Very good.
I lean towards Sharp. He still hasn't swayed me that I think that the first 4 games are brutal for the Bucks. He hasn't swayed me. No one's going to sway me on that. Those first 4 games are brutal for the Bucks. But just a little background on Sharp and his strength of schedule angle. The popular makeup philosophy, mathematics about devising strength of schedule is way off base because it's based on the previous season's records. Pet peeve is, he goes on and on about this every April when the schedule released. He says that's absolutely bogus. His contention is that there's so much roster turnover. Remember, Dirk Cutter always talked about a 30-year roster changes over normally each year. Sharp's contention is, and he backs this up with facts and numbers, that because there's so much roster turnover, you cannot base the strength of schedule on the previous season's records. You have to go by win-loss projections of the next year.
I can't argue with that premise, Steve. I can't argue with it. And he's right. You got to look forward. You can't look back. Teams change. But, Steve, to reiterate my point, look at some of these teams. Cincinnati. Has Cincinnati diminished since they've been in the Super Bowl?
Absolutely. They've improved.
They've improved. San Francisco, they haven't gone backwards. That's still a formidable team. Deebo Samuel's not going anywhere. I believe that's a road game, Steve, on the West Coast.
Yeah,
that's a tough one. People think the Chiefs have gone backwards with this Tyreek Hill move. Well, it's given them some flexibility, Steve, to address some other problems on the defense. They're still going to score points with Mahomes. They're still a very good team. They're not going anywhere. I still think the Bucs schedule is formidable, but I understand Sharp's point. Look ahead and use the current win-loss totals, but, you know, the win-loss totals don't always pan out.
No, of course not. I just think it's funny that fans don't want to believe it. They look at the names and they just don't want to believe it. I mean, the 49ers, why is this going to be a great team with a quarterback who is either hurt and not ready to practice and who's been up and down through his career health-wise or a guy who's never played? Why is that going to be a special team? I don't see it.
Well, Garoppolo wins games, Steve. He wins games.
He's hurt.
I mean,
he's hurt.
He's on the roster. And if Lance doesn't work out, they've got Garoppolo, unless they deal him. They're still a good team, Steve. I mean,
I understand that the point. The point I think is that the whole point of Sharp is that everybody has a tough schedule, which is really, you know, but when you get caught up in it, you know, you get a little, you get too nervous as a fan. That's all I think it is.
Well, one more point we should make, Lee, and I don't think there's a lot of pushback on this. For a defending champion, the 2021 Bucks schedule, I think it was laughably light. You can't expect that coming off a Super Bowl. And, you know, some of it is when you catch these teams in the arc of what's going on with the franchise. And looking back, you know, playing the Jets, the Bucks were awful. They're playing anybody but the Jets. They lose that game. They find a way to win it. The Bucks schedule last year, Lee, not very difficult. Just wasn't.
I really want to hit you with this. I'm concerned about this Russell Gage. Got hurt, mysterious injury. The Bucks don't have to forward any type of intel on an injury that doesn't happen during the regular season. So we have no idea what it is. We know he couldn't participate with the team in minicamp. Steve himself asked Brady at minicamp, you know, is this going to hinder him developing a chemistry with Gage? And Brady said, there's going to be a lot of work Gage needs to do. I've been very concerned about that, especially with Godwin down, especially with Gronk, who knows. I'm very worried about that. But Adam Rank, who did like an exhaustive preview of the Bucks for this season for NFL.com, he made a point that kind of swayed me, that kind of changed my mind about Gage. And I want your reaction to this. He said, Brady has a history of making slot receivers look very good. He goes, who thought Wes Welker was any kind of receiver until he had Brady as a quarterback? Same with Edelman. Look at what he did with Godwin. Now, Lank did not say this, but I'll add to it. Look what Brady did, although a limited window, look what Brady did with the immortal Cyril Grayson as a slot receiver. So do you think Lank is on to something, that don't worry about slot receiver while Godwin's down? Brady will make the guy a receiver. Who's ever there?
I understand his point. But let me say this. Godwin was very good before Brady got to Tampa. Godwin was very good. So I'm not putting him in the class of Edelman and Welker. I also think Welker would have been very good no matter what team he played on. And I think Edelman, too. But I've said, Lee, I have said to your point, you know, I always point out this Chris Hogan guy that you never heard of once went to New England. And there's other guys like that. Drew Brees was like that. I think Rodgers is like that to an extent. Not Devontae Adams, but other Green Bay receivers. You know, that's what the great quarterbacks do. Now, Lee, to your point about Gage, this is a developing story. You've been on this thing, and I think rightfully so. The point isn't whether Gage is going to thrive under Tom Brady. The point is whether he's going to be out there. I don't have any doubt that Gage will get the job done as a slot receiver if he's healthy. But I don't know about this guy. We might have a clearer picture a month from now. But right now, we don't know about Gage. It's an unspecified injury. We certainly don't know about Gronkowski. We're unclear about Godwin's rehab. Steve, all we know is Mike Evans is there, and he's great. That's all we know. Then you got Scotty Miller and Tyler Johnson and Cyril Grayson. As great as Brady is, I don't have that much confidence in these guys. There's no Antonio Brown. Say what you will about the clown. The guy was productive when he played. He didn't play all that often last year, but he was productive. You could argue he was the best Buck receiver in the games that he did play in. You could. Mm-hmm. So I think Lee's point is well taken about Gage. If he's not available for the first 4 to 6 weeks, and maybe Godwin's not available, that's a problem. It's an unanticipated problem because we didn't have any idea to think there was any kind of health issue with Gage.
Yeah, the answer for me, really, I don't even have much to say about it. The answer comes the first week in training camp. If he's not full go first week in training camp, then we know it was significant and serious. If he's ready to go day one of training camp, I don't think there's any problem. Because, like Lee said, the team is not obligated to reveal Gage's injury. And it could have been, a hamstring injury training in April. You know, at some point, doing sprinting or whatever. And they decided, okay, you know, we're going to give it a full 8 weeks to rest. No reason to do anything else. And that's it. So if he's not ready for training camp, that tells us he wasn't doing all the work that he probably needed to do leading up to training camp. And then it's going to hurt the chemistry time for Brady. And then that's a problem. Even if he's ready to play week one, I don't think we're going to get the same player that we hoped for.
And it also probably would mean Jason Light would be keeping a very sharp eye on guys that get released late in training camp in terms of wide receiver. They might need some help there.
Ira, you hit a point that I don't believe many people have focused on or flushed out. Lest we forget, that's how the Bucs got a hold of playoff Lenny. So I think that's a big thing. I think you touched upon a very, very big element right there.
Sage, it's that summer time of year, and if you didn't blow your house up with fireworks like you saw some people do on social media, then you still have a chance, though, for bad things to happen from storm damage, lightning, whatever it might be. And Florida's Elite Restoration is who you call first if you have that problem. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Get that website on your favorites, bookmark it, put it in your phone. As soon as you have a disaster, flood, fire, mold, you call them. They'll give you a free assessment. But even better, Ira, if you use their service and let them know before you make an agreement to do so, they're going to give you $500 off for being a Joe Bucks fan reader or an Ira Kaufman podcast listener. $500 off. That's great to use toward your insurance deductible if you're going that route, or just $500 off their service, whatever that might be, big or small. Pretty cool, Sage.
Josh and his crew, they're the best in the business, Steve. These guys know what they're doing. They're honest, and that's what you're looking for. Heat, humidity, rain, all contributes to a potential mold problem. If you even think that you might have an issue there, you've got to call Florida's Elite Restoration. Make that your first phone call, Florida's Elite Restoration.
Yeah, just call them up, and they will come on out and give you a free assessment in your home, your business, whatever it might be, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Sage, got one here for you that is sort of important. It's just too important because it means too much to too many people to ignore it. Lee wrote about it. Essentially, NFL Network, as a lot of fans have heard by now, scrubbed the America's Game feature, along with the Dallas 1995 team, from its marathon that they were airing on NFL Network of all the America's Game features of all the Super Bowl winners. It's a fantastic hour show that breaks down what happened during that season, narrated by different people associated with the team. For Dallas, it was their chief VP of communications was a big part of it. That guy, Rich Dalrymple, who was accused of all kinds of naughty things with cheerleaders and booted from the team. So they didn't want his voice out there. And for the Bucks, it appears that it was scrubbed and denied as if it doesn't exist anymore, because John Gruden was on it, and probably to a lesser extent, Warren Sapp, a guy fired from NFL Network after getting busted for allegedly paying for a $600 threesome in Arizona, something you could pay $250 for in Newport Richie, Ira. So that's what happened, and it's not really cool. You know, I don't know. I don't know why they have to do that, Ira. What's the mindset? Do you think it'll ever be seen again on NFL Network, the America's Game, featuring the 2002 Super Bowl champion Buccaneers?
Let's speak plainly, which is a reason why this podcast is so popular. It's what we do. Lee, this is shameful. Shameful. And the NFL Network doesn't usually do anything that the NFL honchos don't want them to do. So I think this is coming from a higher authority than NFL Network executives. Lee, you can't change history, Lee. O.J. Simpson's bust, it's still in Canton, Lee. It's still in Canton. What he did or didn't do or the trial doesn't change what O.J. Simpson did as an elite runner in the National Football League. You can't change history. John Gruden's emails don't change the fact that he celebrated his first year in Tampa by lifting up the Vince Lombardi trophy. John Gruden is talking about the 2002 Buccaneers. He's not talking about the 2019 Raiders on that broadcast. Warren Sapp was a great player. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, deservedly. What he did on the field speaks for itself. Lee, absolutely shameful. Rich Dalrymple, we don't even know if this guy has been disciplined. There's been no announcements from the NFL about Rich Dalrymple. what he did or what he didn't do in the cheerleader locker room. Got nothing to do with Dalrymple talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Lee, it's absolutely ludicrous. It's shameful. And, you know, when they roll out these America's games, every one of them, the 2002 Bucks need to be included. You stick them right in there between the Brady Patriots of 01, and you don't try to believe that it never happened. That's shameful.
You pretty much put it perfectly, Ira. Maybe it's because I have a degree in history. I just don't believe in erasing history. If something is unpleasant or untoward or worse, use that history moment as a teaching experience. How can any society learn from the ills and mistakes of society if you try to, you know, wash it away or sweep it under a rug? You learn from mistakes. Don't forget the mistakes. Hence, they may be repeated. And I just think that's shameful is the perfect word, Ira. And I would go on to say that's a slap in the face to Bucks fans. It's a slap in the face to Cowboys fans to try to pretend that the entire season didn't happen because of what someone on the show did years later. What yep. Chucky did, the emails, we all know about it. He was not even employed in the NFL. None of those instances had anything to do with the football team. And the same thing with Sapp. Nothing he did. We know he got fired from the NFL Network. To my knowledge, his biography, his football life biography, has never been broadcast on the NFL Network since he was removed from the NFL Network. So I think that played a part in not showing that America's Game episode. I really do. That was part of it. There were three people that talked on the Bucks' behalf. That was Chucky, Sapp, John Lynch. Obviously, no one's got a problem with John Lynch. But I just still think, as you said, it's shameful. And the slap in the face to Bucks fans, a proud, proud moment in franchise history, is trying to be scrubbed from the NFL's memory disk.
Yeah, Sage, I just don't know where you draw the line. I mean, Lawrence Taylor, many, many issues. He was registered as a sex offender at one point. I mean, where do you start scrubbing full teams because of the actions of some guys off the field, you know? And O.J. Simpson is an interesting story because he's still in their ring of fame in the stadium in Buffalo. I believe it was last year, there was a politician up there in Buffalo who was screaming, demanding that his name come off and wanted to propose a bill or whatever, and the Bills just won't do it. They're, hey, it's part of history, that's who it is. And it opens the eyes of people who've never been to our stadium before, but our regulars know that it's just part of Bill's history and that's it. So I don't know. I don't like it. I already think it'll come back.
No, I think the decision's been made. I think it's irrevocable. I don't think Gruden's ever getting a job in the NFL. I think he knows that. I think that's eating him up alive, even if he wins the lawsuit, wins some money. That's not going to restore Gruden's reputation. It's in tatters. He's done in the NFL. He's done in the broadcast booth. He knows it. Steve, that Lawrence Taylor thing, that was very prescient of you to bring that up. You're going to compare Warren Sapp and Lawrence Taylor? I don't think there's any comparison to their off-field escapades.
Thank you.
Wasn't Taylor an admitted drug abuser?
Well, not just that. Didn't he get popped with an underage woman?
Yeah,
you're right.
Whatever he pled to, he had to register as a sex offender years ago. You know, and it was with underage prostitute or something like that.
Lee, the guy plays in New York, and that's going to give him immunity from this kind of nonsense. I hope they change it when they roll out the next batch of America's Games. I hope the 2002 Bucks are not omitted. That's not fair to the team, to the organization, to the franchise, to the fans. It's just not fair, Lee.
I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. Real quick, Ira, I was thinking this about Sapp. And I know Warren Sapp rubs people the wrong way. He's got a huge personality. And when you have a huge personality like that, it's impossible not to rub people the wrong way in some respect. You know, was it Abraham Lincoln once said, you can't please all the people all the time?
Like you, Ira, you're always rubbing people the wrong way.
So I was thinking, in some ways, I think Sapp is really getting a shaft. They, like I said, to the best of my knowledge, his football life biography has never been rebroadcast on the NFL Network since he was removed from the NFL Network as an analyst. He was a very good analyst. every once in a while you hear him referred to as a dirty player for that incident with the Packers, which I think was damn good football. I don't think there was a coach in America that wouldn't coach up what Sapp did. I can't remember the guy's name.
Chad Clifton.
Yeah. I just think that was damn good football. And I think he was shafted for that. I had heard, and I don't know how true this is, but I know he was scheduled to be an assistant coach at one of the Shrine Game practices a few years ago when the Shrine Game was in St. Petersburg. He was expected to be one of the assistant coaches. That didn't happen. And I had heard the reason for that was the sponsors wanted nothing to do with it. Again, I don't know how true that is, but I just think in a lot of ways, Warren Sapp gets the shaft from people.
You're not crazy, Lee. Now, look, he's done some things that I think he regrets, like a lot of us do, maybe not to that extent. Steve, he's made some big mistakes on a big stage. He's used poor judgment on a big stage. We know that. What's interesting about the NFL Network 60-minute profile of Sapp, A Football Life, you brought up the Chad Clifton thing. If I remember correctly, because I've seen that show about three times, they didn't skip over that, Steve. You've seen it. I believe it was part of the show. So,
yeah, Brett Favre commented on it in that episode.
Yeah, it wasn't like they were trying to whitewash Sapp in that episode, Steve. They accounted for it. Didn't say he was wrong. Didn't say he was right. Didn't try to apologize for him. Tried to show the different sides of the story. So, Steve, you're going to blame him for that when, as Lee points out, it was within the rules. I think the one thing you could say is maybe that it was unnecessary. Well, unnecessary. That's not saying, you know, the guy should be vilified for it. It was unnecessary.
And Ira, you probably know as well as I do, in the meeting, if Sapp didn't do anything to Clifton in a meeting room the next week, he would have got hollered at, maybe even dinged on the grade for not taking Clifton out.
That's interesting, Lee. That's interesting.
Well, we'll see if Sapp reappears. I think it's fascinating, though, that he's been welcomed at One Buck Place consistently. Todd Bowles is a friend of his, invited him in to coach. Same thing up in Washington, in the nation's capital. And Sapp will probably get invited to some other teams as well. So it's not somebody that they've banned. They've just sort of gave him the mini ban, if you will. And of course, maybe it's some cover provided by Gruden, who is a bad, bad man in the eyes of the NFL. All right, Ira, BillCurryFord.com, Bill Curry Ford, C-U-R-R-I-E, Bill Curry Ford. That's where you have to shop first, BillCurryFord.com, whatever it is, body work, service. They've got the best crew, biggest of service technicians there, master techs, BillCurryFord.com. Reach out to GM Sean Sullivan. He will help you personally with whatever you need, discounts, Ira Kaufman discount, which I'm told applies to mufflers, Ira. Did you know that?
It better.
Got to keep you quiet, so you need a muffler. All right, Sage, you trashed the Panthers earlier. I didn't say anything. I think they're going to be a better team than you think. The second-ranked defense is returning, and they've got a lot of talent there. That's not something to just laugh at. Doesn't mean they're a good football team, but McCaffrey coming back, maybe improvement at quarterback. The question I have for you, though, is what do you think happens there as far as Baker Mayfield? Do they just hand him the ball? Say you're the starting quarterback and that's it. You know, Matt Rhule doesn't have a lot of years. David Tepper has not had much success. You don't make a trade like this to create a controversy. I think you need to sort of give the guy the football, but that's just me. What do you think happens there?
I think nice and early in training camp, Mayfield's got the job, Lee. I think it'll be Mayfield's job to lose. Steve made a great point. Rhule's hanging by a thread, Lee. He's hanging by a thread. Tepper's not a patient man. He's an aggressive owner. He wants what he wants. And what he might not want is Matt Rhule if they go 6-11. And they just might. So I think they've seen what Darnold can do. I don't think they're impressed. I don't think Tepper's impressed. Let's see what Mayfield can do. You know, 2 years ago, Lee, the Browns were in the playoffs. They went into Kansas City. They were very competitive against the Chiefs. I thought Mayfield played well in that game. There was a critical fumble out of bounds, Lee, if you remember that. It was a big play, and the Chiefs benefited from that. Otherwise, they could have been in trouble. Cleveland was right there. Mayfield's stock was high. Things went wrong for the 2021 Browns. Mayfield was part of the problem. But, Lee, he's not 31 years old, And he certainly could resurrect his career. He's a competitor. I'm not sure how many weapons he has in Carolina. DJ Moore's pretty good. But we don't know about McCaffrey. That's a big problem. I mean, the old McCaffrey was one of the top three backs in the league, and he hasn't been that way for a long time. The Bucs certainly have an answer for McCaffrey. He doesn't do much against them. But Steve's right. Their defense isn't bad. It's young. It's developing. And if I had to bet, I think this will be Rule's last year in Carolina. But Mayfield's going to have that job, Lee.
Yeah, they wouldn't trade for Mayfield for him to sit on the bench. There's no way.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's going to want Sam Darnold or they'd even part with him. But yeah, I think they hand him the job. And remember, they did draft a quarterback in the third round, Matt Corral, Sean Sullivan, our draft gurus, big fan of his. And while he's obviously not going to start, you know, that puts even more pressure on the organization to get quarterback right this year immediately. I don't think that's Sam Darnold. All right, Sage, look, you have any words of wisdom before we get into some more topics in our next episode?
Well, I'll repeat it again. We're 3 weeks away from training camp. We got so many intriguing storylines. We want to know about Gage, Godwin, Gronkowski, how some of these new defensive parts will fit in, you know, who's replacing JPP. I can't wait for training camp. Lee loves the heat. I don't love the heat. I like it when they go indoors. But either way, Lee and I are going to do it up at training camp. I can't wait.